I'm very happy to be here on Cycle Consulting. Obviously, say touching the leg to my Timber Cousin Law and all the Sangha members and Dharma friends who are gathered here tonight. So today's topic is how to find happiness in difficult times. Generally speaking, all the beings in this world or in the samsara wish to gain happiness and wish to overcome the sufferings of the world or the samsara. But most us, we don't know what is the cause of happiness and what is the cause of suffering. Due to our own ignorance, we don't know that. And due to this, although we wish happiness, but we are engaging in the negative actions and we destroy the cause of happiness. So due to this, we cannot fulfill our wish. As I said before, we all have the common goal to achieve, which is happiness and which is to overcome the sufferings. Happiness also has many different levels. Mundane happiness, happiness, worldly happiness, and in the Buddhist part, you can say like happiness about accumulation, happiness about application, etc. So there are different levels of happiness in the mundane world or in the Buddhist part. And since we as a Buddhist, especially we as a Mahayana Buddhist, we should have the highest goal or highest result to attain. We should wish to gain the highest result, which is the Buddhahood. And the state of Buddhahood is the state where we can experience the highest happiness or the ultimate happiness, a pure happiness that is free from all the faults, sufferings, and obscurations. And not only it is very pure and ultimate happiness, but also that happiness will last forever. Once we gain such happiness, it will last forever. But at the moment, due to our delusion, most of us has wished to gain just the mundane happiness or happiness in this life, which is very, very short. Term or short time or period, as we all know, no matter how long we live in this world, in this life, it won't be more than 100 years in generally speaking, although there are some exceptions, but generally speaking, most beings die before they are 100 years old. So compare to eons and eons of times, 100 year or less than 100 year is very, very short time. So from the time wise, the mundane happiness is not long, it is very, very short time. And also, the cause of mundane happiness is also not pure, because people can experience the mundane happiness through negative actions. By doing many negative actions, one can gain wealth, and then one can experience the mundane happiness by living in good house, etc. So therefore, the mundane happiness is in a short time, and also the cause of mundane happiness is impure. Not always, but most of the time, the cause of mundane or cause of happiness in this life, most of the time is impure, is negative actions. And the nature of this mundane happiness or happiness in this life is also not genuine happiness. Because in the Buddhist teaching, it explains about the three types of sufferings: the suffering of suffering, the suffering of change, and the suffering of conditional nature of all the phenomena. So, suffering of suffering means a suffering or feeling of suffering that we consider as a suffering, such as physical pain, mental anxiety, sickness, etc., that we ordinary people consider as a suffering. These are the suffering of suffering. And then the suffering of change means the feeling of happiness that we experience in this life or in the mundane world. Such happiness is not a real happiness. Such happiness is mundane happiness. Such happiness is actually the suffering of change. For example, when a poor person suddenly moves into a very luxurious home, in the beginning, such person can experience the happiness. But the luxurious home is not the cause of real happiness. Because if it is the real cause of happiness, then the more you stay in that house, the happier you should be. But at the same time, after a while, still you are not free from the suffering. Although you live in a luxurious house, but still you have physical pains, mental anxiety, sickness, sufferings, etc. So therefore, it means this happiness and not genuine happiness, because if it's a genuine happiness, for example, by living in the luxurious house, if it is the cause of real happiness, then it should always be the cause of happiness. Since it is not the genuine happiness, not the cause of genuine happiness, so therefore, in the beginning, it is the cause of happiness, but then after a while, it will not become the cause of happiness. Our feeling change from happiness into suffering. So therefore, such mundane happiness, I think that's called the suffering of change. And as we all know, not only in luxurious house, but generally speaking, the wealth is not the main cause of happiness. We can easily say that the world's richest person is not the world's happiest person. There are many rich persons who has many court cases and many other problems to challenge. So it means the wealth is not the cause of happiness. And also the fame is not the cause of happiness. There are many very famous persons, due to their own sickness and problems, they even can't sleep during the night time, they have to take pills. So it clearly shows that wealth and fame are not the cause of genuine, everlasting happiness. So, therefore, such happiness is very mundane. So, also we can say, that if we try to put effort to gain mundane happiness, then it is a sign that we are not a genuine Dharma practitioner. The genuine Dharma practitioner should have higher goals than to attain to happiness in this life alone. And as I said before, the wealth and fame are not cause of happiness, so therefore we can say the material development is not the real cause of happiness, which means the inner happiness. In the last few decades, there has been a lot of improvement in the material world or in the external world, but at the same time, we can't say nowadays people are more happier than few decades ago or few centuries ago. So it clearly indicates that the real cause of happiness is not an external field. The real cause of happiness is within our own mind. So therefore, the real cause of happiness is to subdue our mind. And the best way to subdue our mind or to tame our mind, we need to practice the pure Dharma. We need to engage in the virtuous deeds. So, the real cause of happiness is virtuous deeds or Dharma practice. And by doing this, we can gain more and more happiness. For example, if a two-person face same problem, and if one knows how to challenge to the teachings, and if one doesn't know how to challenge, then although they have same problems, but mentally they have different feelings. The person who can use the method that is taught in the teaching to face the challenge can experience much lesser suffering than the person who don't know how to apply the teachings into action. So therefore, we should practice the Buddha Dharma, and to practice the Buddha Dharma, first, we need to know the meaning of Buddha Dharma. It is important to know the Buddha Dharmas, but just having the intellectual understanding of Buddha Dharma will not yield the happiness. To gain the happiness, not only we need the intellectual understanding of the Buddha Dharma, but based on this, we need to put this into action. We need to apply the teachings or our inner understanding about the Buddha Dharma in our daily life. And what is Dharma practice? Dharma practice means a practice that is motivated, a practice on Lord Buddha's teachings that is motivated by the bodhicitta or the enlightenment mind. And that is the Dharma practice, because that is a practice and that can lead us from suffering and dissatisfaction to a temporary and ultimate happiness. And that is the practice through which one can gain the liberation, and ultimately one can gain the Buddhahood for the sake of all the sentient beings. And that is a practice that is a real antidote to remove or to eradicate oscillations on our mental continuum. If our practice is not the cause of Buddhahood, etc., then it means such practice is not the real Dharma practice. I think at one time someone asked our guru, if you practice the Dharma with the aim of gaining happiness in this life, then what will happen? Then the guru says, then that action will become a mundane action. And then ask, what is the result of that action? Then guru says, the result will be suffering from hell realms, suffering from hungry ghosts, suffering from animals. So therefore, just practicing the teachings of Lord Buddha will not become our practice, a Dharma practice. To become a Dharma practice, not only we need to practice the teaching, but also with the right motivation. As great Ayam Manjushri said, if you have attachment to this life, you are not a spiritual person. So if you have attachment to this life, based on this, no matter how much practice that you do on the Lord Buddha's teaching, still you are not a spiritual person, you are not a Dharma person, because Ayam Manjushri said, if you have attachment to this life, you are not a Dharma person. So therefore, it is important not only to practice the Dharma teaching, but also it is important to practice it with the right motivation. So whether one is practicing the Dharma, whether one is a Dharma practitioner or not, depends on two things together, which is the Dharma teaching and the motivation. The highest motivation or the bodhicitta. If these two meet together, if we have these two, which means if you practice the Dharma teaching with the motivation of bodhicitta, then it becomes the Dharma practice, and one's self becomes the Dharma practitioner. And such practice is a real cause of happiness. Temporarily, it is the cause of happiness, and also it is the cause of ultimate happiness. It is the cause of Buddhahood. So therefore, it is very important to know what is Dharma practice, what is the real Dharma practice, genuine Dharma practice. So it is easy for us to deceive ourselves. We think, oh, I've done a lot of Dharma practice by receiving this and this many teachings, and have done many practice, have done many pujas, and have studied Dharma teaching for many, many years. So now I have done a lot of Dharma activities or Dharma practice. It can deceive oneself, because so with all these actions or activities, Dharma practice or not, depends on your motivation. In all these years, if you haven't developed or cultivate the right motivation, if you do this, if you have done all this with a mediocre or inferior motivation, then it is actually not a Dharma practice. So it can deceive oneself due to our ignorance, oneself can deceive by oneself by not knowing the genuine meaning of Dharma practice. So I think, like myself, many others have already deceived by this ignorant. So it is now important to be more vigilant, more mindfulness, and with alertness, we should know what is Dharma practice. And after knowing that, we should try to put effort to become our practice as a Dharma practice, to make our practice as a real Dharma practice. You need to put effort by developing the right motivation. So therefore, right motivation is very, very important. Right motivation, a practice that is motivated by the right motivation is called Buddhahood, and Dharma practice that is not motivated by the right motivation is not the cause of Buddhahood. So therefore, this is one of the reasons why this motivation is very, very important. So therefore, we must put effort to gain the real cause, the real happiness by practicing the real Dharma practice. And so happiness has many different levels, as I said before. And also, when we say difficult times, I think difficult times also has many different levels. I think the most difficult time is in the hell realm, and then so there are many different levels of difficult times. We as a human being, we think this time when there is an economic crisis, it is a very difficult time. But compared to other difficult times, like being in the hell realm or hungry ghost realms, etc., then it is not so difficult. So, as happiness has different levels of happiness, and then difficult time also has many different levels. So, anyway, as long as we are in this samsara, generally speaking, we are in difficult times. We are bound by the negative actions and defilements or the thoughts. And as long as we are bound with negative actions and thoughts, we are not free from suffering. As long as we are not free from suffering, we are in difficult times. So therefore, no matter whether we face like economic crisis or not, we should always put effort to gain happiness until we reach the Buddhahood. We must practice, which is the real cause of happiness or the ultimate cause of happiness. Although in the higher path, like noble path, there are happiness, but such happiness still is not the ultimate happiness. Ultimate happiness is on the state of Buddhahood. Or actually we can divide all the happiness into two sections, like contaminated happiness and uncontaminated happiness. Happiness that we experience in the non-Buddhist path or like first two Buddhist part, which is the ordinary part, like part of accumulation and part of application, are called contaminated happiness. Happiness that is experienced in the three noble part, the part of seeing, part of meditation, and the part of normal learning, these three I can call the uncontaminated happiness. But then, within the contaminated happiness, there are different levels, and within the uncontaminated happiness, there are also different levels of happiness. So the highest or the ultimate happiness is the Buddhahood. It's on the state of Buddhahood. So therefore, as I said before, to gain happiness, one needs to engage in the practice of Buddha Dhamma, and what kind of practice that we need to do? And then there are many different ways of doing the Dhamma practice, but whatever practice that you do, first it is very important to have the right motivation. As I said before, the motivation is very important. And the motivation means first to develop the renunciation thought towards whole samsara. If you have renunciation thought towards helping, suffering, or hungry ghost suffering alone, although it's renunciation thought, but that renunciation thought is not enough. We need to have renunciation thought towards whole samsara. Not only the three lower realms, but also renunciation thought towards the three higher realms also. So the renunciation thought that is explained in the teaching is the renunciation thought that is toward whole samsara. And to have this, it is important to know the suffering. What is the suffering? And if you check carefully, then whole samsara is in the nature of suffering. For example, in this world, there are many different countries, and some are very developed countries, and some are very backward countries. But there's not a single place in this world where one can experience only happiness, and where one will not experience sufferings at all. So it clearly indicates that this world is in the nature of suffering. Likewise, the whole samsara is in the nature of suffering. And to know the suffering as it is very important, because although we don't want to experience suffering, but by experiencing the suffering and by knowing the suffering that we experience, by recognizing the suffering, it can cause us to develop qualities. For example, by recognizing the suffering as it is, then it can remove the pride, and it can make us to feel shy to engage in the negative actions, because we don't want the suffering. And if you don't want the suffering that we experience, then we need to avoid the cause of suffering. If you don't avoid the cause of suffering, then the result will appear, which is the suffering. So, for example, if you need to eradicate the poisonous tree, then we need to eradicate by digging the root of tree, the root of the tree, and take out completely. If you try to cut the branches or leaves, it will not eradicate the poisonous tree. So likewise, to eradicate the suffering, we need to eradicate the cause of suffering, which is negative action. So by knowing or by recognizing the suffering, then we will feel to avoid, then we avoid the cause of suffering. And by knowing the suffering, then we feel happy to engage in the cause of happiness, which is the virtue states of the Dharma practice. And by recognizing the suffering as it is, we also feel great compassion to fellow sentient beings who are also experiencing the sufferings of the samsara as ourselves. So, by recognizing the suffering as it is, it will cause us to avoid the negative actions and cause us to engage in the virtuous deeds with great joy, and it will cause us to cultivate more genuine happiness that can extend towards all the beings without any exception. So therefore, it is very important to know the suffering as it is. When Lord Buddha Shakyamuni first turned the wheel of Dharma to five fortunate disciples, at that time, Lord Buddha taught the Four Noble Truths. And at that time, Buddha said, need to know the truth of suffering and need to abandon the truth of origin or the cause of suffering, etc. So therefore, first it is very important to know the sufferings of samsara. Like God, the gods, they are distracted, their mind is distracted by the mundane happiness. So therefore, they can't generate the thought to practice the Dharma because they don't have the gross sufferings, or they don't have great sufferings. Although they have sufferings, but they don't have great suffering, they are distracted by their pleasures. So therefore, they don't have the thought to practice the Dharma. So it is important, so because they don't recognize the suffering as it is. They don't recognize the suffering from samsara. But we as a human being, we can recognize the suffering of samsara, the whole samsara, not only in one country or two countries or in this world, but whole samsara through the teachings. We can understand the whole samsara is in the nature of suffering. So by knowing this, then it is easy for us to remove the attachment to the samsara, because if you think carefully, ideally speaking, although we can't do, but ideally speaking at the moment, we can't do, but ideally speaking, having attachment to this samsara is same as having attachment to the suffering, because samsara is in the nature of suffering. But at the moment, we need to do this, but due to our heavy negative actions and defilements, it is not easy for us to do this, but we should try our best and we should put our effort to have this thought, have this perception. And then when we have this perception, in the beginning for a short time, then after a while we can have this for long, long time. So when we see the sufferings of samsara, then we will not have the attachment. And when we don't have the attachment to the whole samsara, then it is very easy for us to cultivate the wish to liberate from the samsara, and that wish is called the renunciation thought. And that renunciation thought, although in the beginning not easy to develop for a long, long time, but try to do it for a short time in the beginning, then try to extend this renunciation thought. So eventually we can always have this renunciation thought. Or like this. And based on this renunciation thought, we can receive the genuine refuge vow, the genuine bodhicitta vow. And by receiving these two genuine vows, we can become the Buddhist, and we can become the Mahayana Buddhist. By receiving this genuine refuge vow, one can become the real Buddhist. By receiving the genuine bodhicitta vow, one can receive the bodhicitta vow by developing the genuine bodhicitta vow. Receiving the genuine bodhicitta vow, one can become the Mahayana Buddhist. So, as I said before about the Dharma teachings or Dharma practice, here also, if you receive the refuge vow and bodhicitta vow with a mediocre or inferior motivation, then it is not a genuine refuge vow or genuine bodhicitta vow. And if it's not a genuine vow, genuine refuge and bodhicitta vow, then such vow will not convert oneself from non-Buddhist to Buddhist, or cannot convert into a Mahayana Buddhist. To become these two, not only we need to receive the refuge and bodhicitta vow, but also with the renunciation thought towards wholesome samsara, with the right intention, then one can become the real Buddhist or Mahayana Buddhist. Real Buddhist or Mahayana Buddhist. So anyway, based on this renunciation thought, 완전 develop 돼. 러빙 카인드니스 앤 컴패션. 액츄얼리 the real cause of suffering, the root of all the suffering, the source of all the suffering is the selfish thought or the ego. Because this cause of suffering are negative actions. The cause of negative actions are defilements. The root or the source of all the defilements is the selfish thought. So therefore, this selfish thought is the root of all the sufferings and problems. And this selfish thought or the defilements has two antidote. One antidote that can oppress or suppress the defilements, and one antidote that can eradicate the defilements. So antidote that can oppress, suppress, that can suppress the defilement is loving kindness and compassion. And that also not only a limited loving kindness and compassion that we can, that we extend towards our families and friends, etc. But here, the antidote that can suppress the defilement is the infinite loving kindness and compassion, or the Mahayana's loving kindness and compassion that can extend towards all the beings without any exception. All the beings means not only all the human beings, but also all the beings that are in this samsara, who are bound with negative actions or obscurations. So, infinite loving kindness means a wish to gain, a wish that all the sentient beings gain happiness and the cause of happiness, which is the virtuous deeds or Dharma practice. And infinite compassion means a wish that all beings be free from sufferings and the cause of sufferings, which are the negative actions. So these two are loving kindness and compassion, infinite loving kindness and compassion. So it is not difficult for us to understand the meaning of these two, but it is not easy for us to practice in our daily life. So therefore, we should not contend with the intellectual understanding of these two thoughts, but we should try to materialize these two thoughts in our daily life. And for this, we need to remember this again and again, so that finally we can practice these two anytime, anywhere, and to any beings. And then we should develop the bodhicitta. So at the moment, we can't have loving kindness and compassion anytime, anywhere, and to any beings, but try to accustom or try to familiarize with these two practices, so eventually one can become, one can have these two practices at any time, anywhere, and to any being. And anyway, after practicing these two, loving kindness and compassion. So as a beginner, we can first meditate on loving kindness and compassion to all the beings, and then to develop the bodhicitta, which means for the sake of all the sentient beings, I wish to gain the Buddhahood, and for that purpose, I'm engaging in the practice of Buddha Dharma. And through the practice of Buddha Dharma, eventually one can gain the highest result. At Dharma practice, there are many different types of Dharma practice, but in the Mahayana, mainly is the sixth perfection. All the practice can combine into six perfections. So, practice the Dharma teachings purely, authentically, genuinely, and finally, we can gain the Buddhahood for the sake of all the sentient beings. So I think with this, I will conclude my short talk on how to find happiness in difficult times. And if there's questions, I will try to answer.
Feel free if anyone wanted to ask you some questions. Raise your hand and please speak to the microphone.
Thank you so much for coming, Your Eminence. My question is, normally it would be considered the result of very negative karma to be born with a handicap, like to be born blind or something like that. But then what if, let's say, a blind person happens to be born into a culture like the Greek culture that happens to venerate blindness as a very special attribute, so that person would be praised as a prophet and pampered for his or her entire life. In a situation such as that, would it be possible to kind of find a loophole in the system and actually benefit from bad karma?
What do you say, loophole?
Well, it would be that some kind of disability that would normally be considered a severe disadvantage in life.
Yeah.
Would actually become a mark of honor because of the idiosyncrasies of a particular culture.
Idiosyncrasies.
Yeah, because of the different characteristics of a different culture, or the different values of a different culture.
Generally, like handicap or especially like blind person, this result is not the best result, and also it is it means such person will face many difficulties in studying the teaching. For example, like if you into the Buddhist, then it is difficult for blind person to read many, many different texts, many different books on Dharma and to study the Dharma. And one can hear the Dharma teaching, but just by hearing without doing self-studies, one cannot learn thoroughly. One cannot learn the deep meaning of the teachings thoroughly. So therefore, it is a kind of obstacle to study the teaching thoroughly.
can get that.
Try it without.
When you talk about the measurable compassion, the measurable loving kindness, in the Theravada tradition, it's usually stated that may all beings be happy, and may all beings may we all have compassion towards all beings. But would you say that in the Mahayana tradition, in practicing the immeasurables, one has to go beyond that and say, may every being have happiness and cause happiness, and may I myself cause them to be to have happiness, and the same with compassion and the others.
Say again, what is the difference?
For the immeasurable practice of loving kindness.
Yes.
And the measurable practice of compassion. Would it be accurate to say that in the Mahayana tradition, one must practice those two practices not only so that they wish for the happiness of everybody in all the six realms, or and the measurable practice of compassion for everybody, but also to add that the practitioner himself will take it upon himself to lead all beings to gain these states of happiness and to have compassion for all beings.
Yeah, actually, the Mahayana Buddhist Mahayanist person can become Mahayanist by developing the Bodhisattva vow, or developing and receiving the Bodhisattva vow. And so when person received the Bodhisattva vow, at that time, that person has promised to help all the beings. Because in the Bodhisattva it says, for the sake of all the sentient beings, I wish to gain the Buddhahood. And for that purpose, I'm doing this and this practice. So, Mahayana, loving kindness and compassion, should do with the bodhicitta, not without bodhicitta. So, loving kindness and compassion practice is sealed with the bodhicitta. So therefore, one is doing this for the sake of all the sentient beings.
Thank you very, very much for such a wonderful teaching. It's very helpful. It goes straight to the heart. Thank you. Could Rinpoche kindly give some explanation, some practical advice to develop the bodhicitta in everyday activities? As Rinpoche explained, it's important not to have wrong motivation or lack of motivation. Could you kind of give some practical advice for daily life? Thank you.
Yeah, generally speaking, bodhicitta is a mental attitude, and mental action, generally speaking, is not visible, so it's easy for us to cultivate the negative thoughts towards the other person. So although other person is near you, near to you, one can still physically one can be friendly, but mentally one can hate the other person, and the other person will not know, because mental action is invisible action. So it is difficult to, it's more difficult to avoid, because if we have developed the negative thoughts, then we will not feel shy or anything, because other person will not know. It is invisible action. So therefore, it is more easier for us to have the wrong thoughts and wrong motivation. So therefore, we must put extra effort to cultivate the right motivation. And why we need to develop the right motivation, as I said before, to become our practice as a Dharma practice, we need to develop this right motivation. And also, when we receive the Bodhicitta vow, we promise to help all the beings. So it is, for example, it is like a person who invite many guests in the house, and after the guests are arrived, then if we don't receive them, or if we don't give them any food or drinks, then it is not right. So similarly, after promising to help all the beings, and after that promise, if you try to hate, or if you try to have wrong motivation towards other beings, then it is against your promise, against your vow. So therefore, and if that happens, then one will experience the severe consequences. So therefore, one must practice this bodhicitta. And so why we need to practice the bodhicitta? These above mentioned are few reasons, and also there are other reasons why we need to practice, because we say all the beings are one's own and dear mother and father in this life or in our past lifetimes, because we are born in this samsara of infinite times, and whenever we are born, we will not have the same parents again and again. So just like we need to repay the kindness of to our present life's parents, we need to make our present life parents happy, and we need to try to liberate them from the sufferings. Similarly, we also need to put effort to do the same thing towards all the beings, because all of them are also one's own dear parents. And so therefore, it is important to repay the kindness, and the best way to repay the kindness is to develop the bodhicitta. And it's actually just giving us the precious human life alone is very, very grateful for and very kind to us. So these are the reasons, like promising and all of our parents and to repay the kindness, and may all practice as a Dhamma practice, or to make all practices, to make all practice as a cause of happiness or the Buddhahood, etc. The reasons why we need to practice the Bodhicitta, and to practice this in our daily life, it is really important to know these and other reasons or the benefits that are explained in the teachings, and try to remember the importance of Bodhicitta again and again, so that eventually we can cultivate this Bodhicitta always irrespective of situations, different situations that we face.